Beginning of Parshas Vayera, the Torah describes that Avraham Avinu had a visit, the Shekhinah came to visit him to be Mevakeh Chayla, because at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, it says that he just had the bris. And he says, Hashem imnama tzasechei me'enecho al nasabar me'al avdecho. So Rashi quotes a machlekes atanoim from Maseches Shavuos. The Gemara there speaks about which are the Zion, Shem, Shein, and Nimchokim, the different girsas. When you look in Yeridaya, Chelagimel Yeridaya, and Hilchas Sefer Torah, they discuss there, the Be'er Agra discusses the various girsas, which are the Zion, Shem, Shein, and Nimchokim. So the Gemara has Machlekes Hatana regarding certain psukim, whether the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Kodesh Achos, and this pasuk is also Machlekes. Is Avraham Avinu speaking to one of the Shlosha Anashim? Adonoi means my masters. On Zavah Me'al Avdecho, he speaks humbly. He calls himself their Eved, and they are his Adonim. Or is he speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In that case, that it's Kodesh. So I don't know, what's Lamaisa? What do you do? I looked in Yerida, I didn't have a chance to look too much. I didn't find it yet. What's the din if you have a machlokes regarding a posik, whether it's supposed to be kodesh or chol? So should the sofer have in mind, yes, to be mekadoshit? If it's supposed to be chol, so you're not supposed to be mekadoshit. So what, he's supposed to have kavana al ha-tanai. Can you make a tanai on kavana on Hashem Hashem? I'm not sure. I don't know. We have to look in the Sforim on Safras. What's the din in such a case? I don't know. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik once made a comment that we have a din that in the middle of Kriya Shema, the Mishnah has a machlekes and brachas. Mishnah has a machlekes Reb Yudah and Reb Meir. You're permitted and obligated to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema, mipnei ha-kovid, mipnei ha-yira. That if someone comes into shul, if you're not going to say good Shabbos to him, so he's going to feel insulted. Mishnah Berurah says that b'zman hazeh, we assume it doesn't apply. Everybody knows you're in the middle of davening, so you can't talk. Can't be mafsik. But in case there's a person who won't understand, and Bismanatanoim somehow was not understood. So then there are dinim that you're permitted and obligated to be mafsik out of kavod abrius. Show respect for the person. So even though you're in the middle of being mekabel ol malchus shamayim, you're saying kriyashma, middle of posik rishon, you're not mafsik. But after the posik rishon, you are mafsik. So he said that's what this story with Avraham Avinu is all about. This was a test for Avraham Avinu, to see if Avraham Avinu would remain. That the Shekhinah came to visit Avraham Avinu, and he's mafsik in the middle of Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchinah to greet the Yorchim. So that's exactly what the din is, that the Tanoim assume that in the middle of Kriyashma, you have to be mafsik, Mepnei HaKovah and Mepnei HaYira. The details are Machleg Zalamasar HaKasvel HaChachamim. Is it Bain Parsha, the Parsha, Bemta Parsha? When are you mafsik Mepnei HaKovid, when Mepnei HaYira? But the principle is that you have to be mafsik. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that this is learned out from the Pasuk V'dibarta Bam. Pash Pshat V'dibarta Bam means you should say Kriyashma. And Yerushalmi learns V'dibarta Bam, you should talk in the middle of Kriyashma. You should talk to greet the guest who walked into shul. And Tosis interprets that that's the Gemara in Yuma. And Daf Yutesa and Mesa, the Gemara has a drosha on the drosha. With the Barta Bam, the Loi B'Tfila. What does he mean? Only in the middle of Kriyashma are you permitted and obligated to be mafsik mitnei kovid mitnei ayira, but you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the Shmona Esrei. Middle of Shmona Esrei is like, that's like Pasuk Rishon in Kriyashma. That you're not allowed to be mafsik. But in the middle of Kriyashma, you're permitted and obligated to be mafsik if there will be an issue of Kavod Abrius. Someone sent me an email just yesterday. Apparently he was listening to shiurim that I gave in the past on Parshas Vayera. So I mentioned that in the back of the Yerideya, the person wanted to know where this is. So in the back of Yerideya, Chelek Sheni, you have the Chavos Das, then you have the Machtza Shekel, the page after the Machtza Shekel and all the standard editions has the comments of Rav Shlomo LeVilna, who was a dayan in Vilna at the end of the 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. So there, in the back of the second chelik, he quotes the Malbim on this pasuk, that when Avraham Avinu prepared food for the guests, so the Medrash says he gave them basar v'cholov, he gave them chema v'cholov, and he gave him ben habakar she'asa Avraham. So the Malbim has a suggestion, ben habakar she'asa Avraham. Avraham Avinu made the ben habakar using Sefer Yetzira. It wasn't an animal that was born. It wasn't a behema, bas behema, bas behema, all the way back to Sheshes Mebreshes. He mixed together chemicals, and he created a behema. So the Malbim has this chiddush based on this pasuk that if a person creates a behema using Sefer Yetzirah, so it's parava, and you can cook it together with milk. So this may or may not be relevant to the new progress that they developed, that they want to make more meat just by mixing some cells from the animal with chemicals. It could be that this is also like that's what Sefer Yetzirah is all about. You make a piece of flesh. You make a piece of flesh without being born from a Zohar Nekeva Behema. It could be that such a piece of flesh would be part of it. It'll probably be fleshig midirabbanan. Look, if chicken is fleshig midirabbanan, kalachayma, this should be fleshig midirabbanan. Rabbi Shavais spoke for the OU once. He thought that it's fleshig midirabbanan. Okay. I would think that it's at least fleshig midirabbanan. The Gemara learns that from the fact that when the three malachim revealed themselves to Avraham Avinu, and they told them that they were the malachim, or the way the Malbim, or the way the Ralbag learns Pshat in the Pasuk, it doesn't mean they were malachim. It means that they were, a malach is a shliach, means that they were nevi'im. They were three nevi'im.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
The Cheshek Shlomo is in Siman Tzadi Hei, where it's supposed to be. On Seif Bet in Siman Tzadi Hei, in your day.
On the first Chelek?
Yeah. And that's yeah.
Okay. I have an old edition, so by me it's in the beginning and the second Chelek. Good. Okay. Okay. So the Rabbag understands that the Malachim really means that they were Nevi'im, that Avraham Avinu recognized them as Nevi'im, and they said this is a Nevuah. And Avraham and Sarah were supposed to believe him. They were Nabi Muchzak. They were known to be Nevi'im. Or they revealed themselves as Malachim. And nonetheless, despite the fact that they were Malachim or that they were Nevi'im, nonetheless, Sarah is laughing in disbelief. Avraham Avinu apparently last week said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him he's going to have his wife is going to have a baby Yitzchak. So he was laughing from joy. And apparently Sarah was laughing from disbelief. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains to Avraham Avinu why his wife doesn't believe Hayipalim Hashem Davar, why his wife doesn't believe. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted as having raised an issue, isn't this Lashon Hara? The Rabban Shalom is telling Lashon Hara to Avraham Avinu about his wife. So he suggests, based on the Gemara Pesachim says that if there are people in the yeshiva who see that some of my students never come to minyan shachris, or that they're not mendaktik in mitzvahs, so there's no isa lashon hara if they tell me about one of my talmidim, because I will probably have a greater success rate if I'll give musa to my talmidim rather than if the stranger will give musa. So Avraham Avinu was sort of the Rebbe of Sarah, so that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu is not in violation of Lashon Hara. Whenever it's L'Toelus L'Habosa, then there's no Isa Lashon Hara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu to give Musa to his wife Sarah. So when he gets, so that's what they quote from Rav Moshe Feinstein. They quote in the Sefer Kol Rom, they quote a lot of drushes of Rav Moshe there. The Gemara points out that even though Chaisam Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Makbid on Midas HaEmes, but nonetheless, you don't always have to tell the truth. In the Chumash, the prohibition of Losa Shakar Ishba Misa is you're not allowed to tell a lie to deny that you owe money to somebody. Let's say if I fill out the tax form falsely, I write I remember there was a very wealthy businessman who lived down the block, had passed away a long time ago. So he was bragging in shul, he was bragging in the shtiebel in front of everybody that he writes down, he had up as many children, he had 11 children or something, and I think he was a diamond merchant, I'm not sure, I forgot already. So he said that he writes down on his tax form that he has three children and he only makes $5,000 a year and they never bother him. He's bragging about the fact that he cheats on income tax. So that's the issue. This is Shakar Hishban Misa. If you owe money to somebody, you owe money to the government, taxes, money to the government means that we're all shutfim together and we're all mechuyev to chip in to pay for all the expenses. If you live in a democracy, the money that you pay for taxes doesn't really go to enrich the king. The Rambam writes that whoever doesn't pay taxes is gozel menas hamelech, he's stealing from the king. In a democracy, the money goes to pay for the garbage collection, for the water purification, for all the things that the government, for the mail delivery, for all the things that the government takes care of, for the army, for the navy, for all the things the government, and the three different, we shoot them on three different levels. We shoot them on a municipal level. There are some things that the municipal government takes care of, some things that the state government takes care of, some things that the federal government takes care of. So all the people who live in New York are shoot them on three different levels. And we're mechuyev to chip in to share our share of the shutfus. And whoever doesn't pay taxes is stealing from me because my taxes are five times as high as they should be because all the other people are stealing on taxes. They're not paying. So they're not stealing from the Goyish government. The Goyish government is just the MC over here. They're just the secretary. They're stealing from all the other shutfim. Whenever you live in a democracy, it's considered a shutfus. Says in Shulchan Aruch says like that. You're mechuyev to pay for a mikveh, to pay for shul. It's a tzorach of the tzibur, and all the people in the tzibur are considered shutfim bal korchem, whether they like it or not. If you don't like it, you have to move away from the city. But even though you were born in the city, you didn't move in out of your own free choice, out of your own free will. You're born in the city, you become a shutfim bal korchacha. So if a person denies that he owes money, and he says falsely, it doesn't know, he fills out a false tax form. That's the issa. The prohibition not to tell a lie about other things, some not to tell a lie about what's going on, that's a different issa. Balach de bedrochav, mahu afato, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makbed on emes, so we should also be makbed on emes. But just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Rabban Shalom gave Musar, when the Rabban Shalom told Avraham Avinu he should give his wife Musar, why did Sarah laugh? So the Rabban Shalom changed it. That's how the Gemara points out. Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mishan Mipnei Dakir Shalom. Sarah really said, Vadeni Zakei, my husband is too old to have any children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it over differently, Bani Zakanti. So you see that it's Mutar L'shanes Mipnei Dakir Shalom. Because the whole din that you're not allowed to tell a lie is because of Allah the Bedrochav. We were all created, B'Tzelem Alekim, and we were instructed to preserve that Tzelem Alekim by going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishana Mipnei Dakir Shalom. So we should also be Mishana. A lot of times people are such sticklers for telling the emes. So tell the emes when you're not supposed to. They should be more makben not to deny when they owe money. They should pay the money. That's the real Isa Lusa Shakur Hishban Misa. And this is a din of midas for Halachta Vidrochav. It's interesting, right after the Malachim leave, so the three Malachim go to Sdom to destroy the city. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaMachas Ani Me'avam Esau Shani Oseh. Is it right, the Pashup Shat, translating the Pasuk, is it right that I'm going to keep it a secret from Avram Avinu? He's going to get all of Eretz Yisrael, and now I'm going to destroy part of the land that belongs to him. I'm going to destroy the five cities. That's the Pashup Shat. The Medrash has a different interpretation on the Pasuk. HaMachas Ani Me'Avraham, can I succeed in keeping it a secret from Avram Avinu? He sits and he learns, and he discovers, every day Avram Avinu discovers things that the Bezon Shamayla was just Mechadish that day in Halacha. So just like he discovers all the Chidushi Torah that we're Mechadish every day, Avram Avinu will be able to figure out what's happening in Sodom. HaMachas Ani Me'Avraham does mean, is it proper for me to keep it a secret? Will I succeed in keeping it secret? It's a very interesting interpretation that the Medrash has. Then the Pasuk says, I'm not going to keep a secret. Ki daitiv, I love him. That's the Pashup Shat. Ki daitiv, I love him. Rav Avinu, Amana Sheitzabe is Bon of his Pesach, and Lech is Baderach Hashem. So my son Shai, Rabbi Shai, just made a bris a week and a half ago on Sunday. And at the bris, he distributed a little kuntris of Divrei Torah on the topic of Chinuch Bar Bosha Weiss. So the first essay was based on this pasuk. If I'm not mistaken, this idea says in the Netziv also that this pasuk tells us that Chinuch is Daraisa. When the Gemara says Chinuch is the Rabbanon, that means the obligation of the parents to see to it that the child fasts now the Katnusa on Yom Kippur, that he should check the lulav now, that he should wear an Arba Kamfis now, that he should observe Shabbos and so on, but that he should explain to the children that when you're going to, now you're not bar mitzvah yet, but after you're going to become bar mitzvah, you have to keep kosher, you have to keep Shabbos. Of course, chinuch is deraisa. L'mar t'masa es b'nechem. Doesn't only mean to teach Torah, it means to teach all the shmiras on mitzvahs. So that's certainly chinuch deraisa. That's a question. Let's say there'll be a conflict between the chinuch deraisa and the chinuch derabbanan. Let's say the child has some kind of a hang-up. The din says he's supposed to see to it that the child should fast 2 years before bar mitzvah, and 2 years before 2 years before bar mitzvah, he should fast a half a day. So let's say the child has some kind of a psychological problem, and we're afraid if we'll insist, if we'll be too strict, the child should fast before bar mitzvah, 2 years, 4 years before bar mitzvah, half a day. We're afraid they'll run away, it'll be too much, they won't want to keep any mitzvahs at all. If we'll just be soft with them and tell them that another couple of years are going to be bar mitzvah and they have to fast the whole day, so we hope the chinuch will work. But if we're going to insist that they should fast now, this will be detrimental. So they quote Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Reb Meir Schlesinger, who was the founding Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Chalavim, published an essay about this. He learned by Reb Shlomo Zalman and Kol Torah, and he had such a shaila. So he said, Reb Shlomo Zalman said that the chinuch deraisa takes precedence over the chinuch derabbanan. If you're afraid that by insisting now, it'll be too difficult for the child, so then that you don't insist now. Then you just explained it. Yeah, and another couple of years, you're going to be by mitzvah. You have to observe all the dinim. But there certainly is an aspect of chinuch that is deraisa. That's not only this pasuk, l'man ki yedaita by love or avina l'man sheitzav his banav his pesachrav. Now we live in a crazy world. The parents give the five-year-old child the right to decide whether he wants to be a boy or a girl. You want to have a boy's name, a girl's name. You want to wear dresses. You want to wear pants. You want to do a surgery to change your gender. They let the children make any decision. You want to believe in the Jewish religion, you don't want to believe. That's not what it's supposed to be. We have a mitzvah to transmit Yiddishkeit to our children. That's certainly a mitzvah there, I said. That's not stam din derabbanan. It's very interesting that Benoy Slot thought that the whole world was destroyed and the only way for mankind to continue to be perpetuated is if they'll sleep with their fathers, they'll both sleep with the father, and they'll become pregnant from the father. And the Gemara says that they were rewarded because they thought that they're saving the whole world. The Gemara has a din in Menachos and Perek Rabbi Shmuel. The doctors say on Shabbos that the patient is a chole mesukan, and he has to have a fresh orange that's just plucked off from the tree today. So 10 people run together to grab a fresh orange. They run in 10 different directions, and each one grabs, all he needs is one orange. Each one is afraid that every minute may count, every second may count. So 10 people run, and then all the 10 people come back, and it turns out that he got better without anybody's orange. He got better from the first orange already. So 9 people, or all 10 people, when Mechal Shabbos unnecessarily. So the Gemara says, no, that since each one thought that he's doing Pikuach Nefesh, so they all deserve a reward. And it's considered Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh depends on what you think. It doesn't have to correspond to reality. So that's what it was over here. They thought the whole world was destroyed. Nobody, there are no human beings, only the two girls and the father, and they're saving the whole world. And that's Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Olam Chesed Yibana. Cain had to marry his sister. There was no Brera, and that's Chesed. When a brother and a sister live together, that's Chesed. So the only way for the world to be perpetuated, mankind to be perpetuated, was that the brother should marry the sister. So the Gemara says that because the Bechoris left with the father one night earlier, than the Tzeira. So that's why Moav, years later, was rewarded more than Ammon. So on the one hand, the Gemara says that they did a big mitzvah, even though the whole thing was a mistake. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, "Vayi b'shaches elikim esarei hakikar, vayiskar elikim es Abraham." So the Pasuk says that the only reason why Lot was saved was in the schus of Avraham Avinu. So look at the major mistake that they thought. They thought Avraham Avinu is dead, and Avraham Avinu, they thought all of mankind is dead, and they're the only ones who are alive in the world. Their father, Lot, is one and only Tzaddik, and the two daughters, and the rest of the world is dead. And the Chumash tells us before the whole story begins, they were only spared in the schus of Avraham Avinu. It's interesting. Whenever it's Parshas Vayeras, I always recall years ago when there used to be a Chag HaSmicha, so Rav Soloveitchik was always the main speaker. Dr. Balcom would speak for 5-10 minutes. He wasn't a good public speaker. He would always say a good idea, but he wasn't a good public speaker at all. So he would always speak for 5-10 minutes. Then he would introduce Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik would always give every Chag HaSmicha a major drasha, major address. I remember on one occasion he was giving Musa to the young Musmachim, they should be careful in Yiddish, he spoke. They shouldn't develop a Messiah complex. They shouldn't think that they're saving the whole world. And therefore, you can cut corners. You can make a little bit here and there. Sometimes the people in NCSY think they're saving the whole world. So they cut corners a little bit. So let's say there's a bus that's supposed to bring everybody to the hotel for the Shabbaton, and the bus breaks down. So they'll have the bus driver continue to drive on Shabbos instead of arranging to have Shabbos where you are in a different place. So they'll be Mekel here and Mekel there because they're saving the whole world. So I remember at that time, Rav Soloveitchik said, when you'll be in the rabbinate, if you'll succeed in sending one or two boys to the yeshiva, that'll be gewaldig. And if you convince one or two families to become Shomer Shabbos, that'll be a gewaldig accomplishment. Don't think that you're saving the whole world. Many, many rabbanim think they're saving the whole world, and they do cut corners. That's taka, not right. The pasuk says when the cities were destroyed, Vashem himter al Sodom v'Amora v'Hashem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Hu ubeis dinoi. Whenever it says v'Hashem avav achibur, Hu ubeis dinoi. What does that mean? So the Chidor has an interesting comment that this comment v'Hashem, Hu Beis Dino, only appears, the Chazal only makes such a comment when the Pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished someone and he did something negative. So then we don't want to attribute terrible things to the Rabban Shalom. So he says, the Bezon Shalmaila did it. When it's a good thing, it says Hashem did it. When it's a punishment, then it says the Bezon Shalmaila did it. A euphemism. Yeah. There's an interesting Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says that there was once a sreifa and burnt down a half of the city, and the other half of the city was spared. And you shouldn't think that the other half of the city was spared in the schus. I think Rav lived in the other half of the city. Shouldn't think that it's because Rav lived there. No, it's in the schus of a doctor. There was a frum, a Jewish doctor, who didn't charge so much to the patients, and whenever the patient couldn't afford, he didn't charge anything. He'd give the medication free of charge. He would have the men separate and the women separate because they weren't all fully dressed when he was treating them. He was a wonderful doctor, so the fact that half the city was nitzel was in the schus of the doctor, not in the schus of Rav. So the Marsha asks on the Gemara, why did they have to knock down Rav? Maybe it wasn't the schus of Rav. Why did they say it wasn't in the schus of Rav? So this Fasemis, Amaseches Tainus, says he thinks he has a pshat based on what he heard from his grandfather. His grandfather was the Chedusha Arim, the first Gerer Rebbe. So he says there's a medrash on today's Sedra, Ula Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim Mesocha Ir. So the medrash says Tzadikim Nivli, Faker Tzadikim, not Erlecha Tzadikim, Shvacha Tzadikim. What does the medrash mean, Shvacha Tzadikim? So he says this concept that the whole city, the Tzadik is Megan on the whole city, the tzaddik protects the whole city, only applies if he's a shvachat tzaddik. He deserves to he doesn't deserve to die, but he doesn't deserve that it should be so bolate, it should be so obvious, and that everyone should see that he's the only one who has nitzal. So because the tzaddik deserves to be nitzal, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will spare the whole city. So that's what the Gemara says over here. That if it would have been in the schus of Rab, the whole city would have burnt down except for Rab's house. Rab deserved to have a hatzalah in a very conspicuous fashion. But it wasn't in the schus of Rab. It was in the schus of the doctor, who was a fine man. He was wonderful, but he didn't deserve a hatzalah, that it should be also bolet. So that's why half the city was nitzal. So that's the Svasemis has this pshat on this Gemara in Tainus. I remember when the Gulf War broke out, so there was a family from Florida who chartered a flight, and a lot of boys from Yeshiva and a lot of girls from Star College went. It was a chartered flight. Only boys and girls from Yeshiva University went. And on Shabbos, I was in the Gru Center. So one of the boys I'd learned in my shiur was learning that year in the Miri Yeshiva. So he came over for Shabbos to the Gru Center. So we were eating by the meal. So he said he wants to say a Dvar Torah. So he says in his Dvar Torah, he was afraid to stay in the Miri Yeshiva for Shabbos. I think Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was still alive. I forgot already. I think so. So I think he says, the Rabbanim in the Miri Yeshiva, they're such big tzaddikim. The bombs will drop and everyone will be killed and only the Rabbanim will be nitzal. So he came to the Gru Center. Rabbi Shechter, he deserves a hatzalah, but not that it should be so bolet. So the tzchus of Rabbi Shechter will all be nitzal. That's what he said. He spent Shabbos. He's now a rabbi in New Jersey. He gives good drushes, I guess. Very good. The Torah tells us the story that Paro Melech Mitzrayim took Sora, and then he got a halayim that night that he shouldn't sin because this woman is married to Avraham Avinu. He bu'ul azbal. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole sugi about the dinim of B'nai Noach. By B'nai Noach, there is an institution of marriage. It's not the same marriage as he had by B'nai Yisrael. By B'nai Yisrael, we have the Erisin and we have Nisuin. By the B'nai Noach, there is no such thing as Erisin. There's only one stage in the marriage, and we have three forms of Kiddushin. That's the opening Mishnah, Risha Niknas, Bekesef, Bishtar, Bidia, one form or another. And by the Nochem, it's only Behibulas Baal, Bulas Baal Yeshlahem, Niknas, Eluchup, Velenivalo, Enlahem. They don't have Kiddusha Kesef, they don't have Kiddusha Shtar. So the Gemara says it's based on this pasuk. We recite the Birchas Erisin when a couple gets married. So the Rambam's opinion is that the Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah, because the Rambam holds that the two distinct mitzvahs. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, there's a mitzvah to get married, Lisa Isha Biksuba V'Kiddushin. There's another separate mitzvah, to Lifras V'Liras, to have children. So when you're about to have the Kiddushin, so the Rambam says, the Chosin should say the Bracha, Oibel HaSiyosim, right before. And if he already gave the ring and he said Harayat and he forgot to say the Birchas Eris in advance, so the Rambam says any Birchas HaMitzvah, Mashanasek, Kvarnasek, it's Farfalman, it's too late. He can never say the Bracha, Lachar Asiyos. That's the Rambam Sheet. And the Bali HaTosfos, the Rosh, always represents the Bali HaTosfos. The Rosh, in the beginning of Ksubis, quotes from the Bali HaTosfos. We had it in Tosfos in the beginning of Psochem and Abzayin and Aleph. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Birchas Erisin should really be recited after Yom Kaddush and Isha, but Dafke, not before. Like any Birchas Shevach or any Birchas Hodah, we recite the Birchas HaShevach after we hear the thunder and after we see the lightning. We don't guess in advance when it's going to be. We see beautiful mountains or beautiful oceans or beautiful things, or good-looking people. So you say Birchas HaShevach, or sometimes you say Birchas Hodah. It's always recited La'achar HaSiyosim, after, not before. So the Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that Birchas Harrison, even though you start off Hashem Kedushanu B'mitzvaysa B'tzivanu, but we don't end off L'kadosh HaSoisha. The Orzorah quotes that some Rishonim, in addition to the Birchas Harrison, also said a Birchas HaMitzvah L'kadosh HaSoisha. Because Kol HaMitzvah's Kulam, Baruch Aleim, Ovel HaSiyosim, but we don't say that Baruchah. So we just say Birchas Harrison. So according to the Rosh, it's not really a Birchas HaMitzvah. It starts off with the Nusach, HaShikadoshan B'Mitzvah Tzivanu, But it's really basically a Birchas HaShevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us the institution of marriage. But what's Kiddushana b'mitzvosav? What's unique about the Jewish people? The Ummah Salam also have an institution of marriage. They also have a din of Eishes Ish. So Rav Velbo Vasalevichik explained that that's why we mention in the Nusach, it's Ivano Alho Arroyos, that the laws of Arroyos, the Rosh raises the question, why do we say a bracha if it's Ivano Alho Arroyos? Let's say a person is about to eat kosher food. Does he say Birchas HaMitzvah, Shekirisham Tavsan Shalom Lechon Machol Asasuras? A person is about to shave with a shaver. Does he say a bracha, Shekirisham Tavsan Shalom Galech Betar? Whenever you avoid violation of an Avera, you don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. You only recite a Birchas HaMitzvah when you're about to perform a mitzvah. So the Rosh raises the question, but he doesn't really give an answer. Why do you say B'tzibanu Alho Arroyos? So they quote in the name of Rav Elbel the Soloveitchik because the list of prohibited relatives is longer by Jews than it is by Goyim. We have relatives that are prohibited because of marriage. Let's say I'm not allowed to live with Isha Bita, Isha Bachoisa, Chamoisai. We have Kroivim that are prohibited. We're not allowed to marry them because of the fact that we're married to our wives. The Kroivis are the Ishus. So that shows that Ishus Yisrael is different from Ishus B'nei Noach. So we say Vitzivano al Royas to emphasize the fact that Ishus Yisrael is different from Ishus B'nei Noach. Then we say Basalanos Harusas Vehitalanos Hanesuas Lanu, that by the Yom HaSoilam they only have Nisuin, they only have Bulas Bal Yeshlahem, Nichem Saluchup V'lai Nivala Elahem. They don't have a concept of Erisin. We have a different type of Ishus, we have Erisin. The Ishus is different. It's a very strange. Some of the Achrayim have a strange idea. I think it's a tshuva from the Beis Meir, where he writes, he assumes that if a non-Jewish woman is married to a Jewish man, there's no tefisas kiddushin, but he assumes, chiddush number one, that there's ishus b'nei noach. If two goyim get married, there's ishus b'nei noach. So if a Jew intermarries, there's ishus b'nei noach. That's chiddush number one. The Pashto says there's no ishus at all. Then he assumes chiddush number two, if this non-Jewish woman who's married to the Jewish man is mezana, she runs away and she has an affair with someone else, then she's a soit asur al baila, and even if she's not Jewish anyway, but even if later on she'll convert, that's the tshuva that the Beis Meir talks about, even if she'll convert later, she can't marry the Jewish man because of soit asur al baila. That's a wild chiddush. That there's a din of Sota Lamana. So the one who published the Chuba's Beis Meir was put out by the Machon Yerushalayim many years ago, 40 years ago. So he writes that he's learning in Yerushalayim in the Miri Yeshiva, and he asked all the Rabbeim, no one ever heard of this. They thought it was wild. They're both wild. They say that there's Ishus B'nei Noach and an intermarried couple. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes also in the Gilyoni Ashas on Kiddush, and he quotes a Machronim and say like that, that if you have a couple who are intermarried, let's say the husband is Jewish and the wife is a Nochris, so Komasha Kansisha Kanabaila applies in such a case. That they're married, and the Komasha Kansisha Kanabaila is a Din der Rabbanan. The Takana der Rabbanan applies to an intermarried couple. So Chiddush Agavi Chiddush Agavi Chiddush. The whole thing is Kula Chiddush. The Pashto says that it's not so. We have an interesting chiddush in the Sedra that Hashem appears to Paro b'chalom halayla, and he says, give back Hashem Eishesh Ishkin Abihu Yispala Ba'atcha Bechayei. It's the first time you find the Chumash. And we know that it's so from this pasuk, that tefillah helps for someone else. Not only does tefillah help if I daven for myself, if I daven for someone else, Avraham Avinu is going to daven for Paro, Yispala Ba'atcha Bechayei. Someone told me his mother was not well, so I said, tzedakah tatzal mimavos, and she gives tzedakah, and it should be a schus for the mother, so mother is better. So he sends me an email, where did I get that idea from? That not only is tzedakah tatzal mimavos, if I give tzedakah, it'll spare me if there's a pandemic going on, so you should give extra tzedakah as an extra shmira. If I give tzedakah for someone else also helps. I have to answer him yet. He just sent me an email yesterday. It's a Gemara. A person gives sellers other tzedakah b'shul she'ababu she'yichya b'ni. The Gemara talks about such a thing. So the Gemara says, ha'reizu tzari gomor. Or the Chavetz Chaim points out that the Rabbeinu Hananel has a girsa, ha'reizu tzedakah gemura. Some have a girsa, not ha'reizu tzari gomor. Tzari gomor he isn't. because he should really give the tzedakah, not necessarily to gain something from it, but it's certainly tzedakah gemura. So the Sedra says that there's such a thing as tefillah helping for someone else, and the Gemara says there's such an idea of tzedakah helping. Tzedakah tats mamas, I give tzedakah that someone else should have a refuah shlema. Then the Torah tells us that Abimelech, Melech Plishtim, comes to make a peace treaty with Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu tells him that he dug a be'er and Abde Abimelech stole the be'er. So Avraham Avinu, so Abimelech apologizes. He wasn't aware. And then Avraham Avinu gives seven cows, seven kvasos, seven sheep he gives to Abimelech. What is this giving of the seven cows? What is it supposed to represent? So many years ago, this Rabbi Moshe Einstadter, who comes to the yeshiva usually twice a year to raise money, he was brought up in my building in 24 Bennett. And after he got married, he married a girl from Cleveland. So he moved to Cleveland. So his parents lived in my building. His mother's maiden name was Schreiber. She was a descendant from the Chassam Sofer. And she had two other sisters who were single who also lived in the building. So I remember years ago, the building only had one big sukkah and we all used to eat together. So I remember once on Sukkot, Rabbi Einstadter's father was telling me a pshat and this pasuk from the Ksav Sofer. It's probably in the Ksav Sofer ala Torah. I never bothered to look it up. That the Gemara tells us in the first parak in Chulin that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer had a chamor. And the chamor wouldn't eat tevel. We learned the Tosfos in Psochim and Aftes that even though tevel is muta bano, but it's also bano shal kilui. So you're not allowed to feed tevel to the behemoth. That's a din. The Jewish farmer is not allowed to feed tevel to his behemoth. The behemoth is not Jewish. There's no avera for the behemoth to eat, but the chamor of Pinchas ben Yoyer wouldn't eat the tevel. So Avraham Avinu's chamor is probably also on the same madrega, like Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, maybe on a higher madrega. So they would be careful. The pasuk says, and this week said, what was the dispute? Vahiriv ben Roy Mikne Avram and ben Roy Mikne Lot. That Roy Mikne Lot decided that since Avram Avinu is going to get the Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't have any children, so they're going to Yarshan. So they may as well graze their behemoths, the Sodah Shalacher. And Avram Avinu's shepherds wouldn't do that. So the Ksav Sofer says not only they wouldn't do it, his behemoths were trained, they wouldn't eat something that doesn't belong to Avraham Avinu. They, just like Hamor Shel Pinchas Ben Yoyer wouldn't eat tevel, so the behemoths of Avraham Avinu wouldn't eat any peiros that don't belong to their Adon. So Avraham Avinu gave Sheva Kvasos, Tikach Miyadi, Baberti Ali Le'ei, this is the raya that the boar belongs to me. What's the raya? So Avraham Avinu told the behemoths to drink the water. So Kozman, the behemoths belonged to him and the boar was his, so the behemoths drank the water. Then he gave a kinyan, he gave the behemoths to Abimelech, the behemoths would not drink the water. Then Abimelech gave the behemoths back to Avraham Avinu, then they would drink the water. He gave back and forth. That's what the Ksav Sofer interprets in the pasuk. Whenever the behemoths belonged to Avraham Avinu, so they would drink the water. So that's Baboti Ali Le'ed, Ki Chavati Asaber Azos, that's the raya. Because my behemoths are trained, they wouldn't eat any food that's gezel. An interesting interpretation in the pasuk. Yeah, we didn't mention the pasuk says the Paramelech Mitzrayim asks, why did you do such a crazy thing? Why do you tell me that it's your sister? So he says. Avraham Avinu says, he sees there's no Yerushalayim, v'haraguni al dvar ishti. Yeah, we see that. Whenever there's no Yerushalayim, people could be chashudim on the worst things in the world, including shvichas damim. That's what Avraham Avinu said. That's why he was concerned. Then the Mishnah tells us that Avraham Avinu had esen nisyanis, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And the greatest Nisoyan, the Medrash says, was the Nisoyan of the Akedah. What exactly was the Nisoyan? So our tradition has it that Avraham Avinu passed the Nisoyan. Some modern people think that they're Orthodox, and they gave a whole different interpretation that Avraham Avinu failed the Nisoyan. That Avraham Avinu should have understood that you don't kill a human being even if God tells you to. You're not allowed to. But that is not our tradition. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the davening on Rosh Hashanah and the Shemana Esrei, and all year long we pray in the schus of the Akedah. And the schus of the Akedas Yitzchak, that Bnei Yisrael, that Avraham Avinu was prepared, and Yitzchak was prepared to give up his life. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be Kovish Rachamov, Kosh Kascha Me'aleinu, just like Avraham Avinu was Kovish Rachamov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Kovish Kascha Me'aleinu. What exactly was the Nisoyan? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have, that's what some raise a question, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would appear to me and tell me to do something, I probably would do it, even if it would be very, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear to me, but if he appears to you, what's the Hava Amina? So the Ran has the Bir HaRan, they think it's by the regular Ran on the Rift, the same Ran. The Ran takes the word Kach No. No means please, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, I'm not Mitzavayu, I'm not Mechayiv you to bring your son as an Akedah, but it would please me very much. I would appreciate it very much if you bring it. If it's too difficult, don't do it. But if it's not too difficult, I would appreciate. And Avraham Avinu was prepared to do the Akedah, even though he wasn't mitzvah to. He wasn't a tzav. He just knew that this is the Ratzon Hashem, this is what Hashem would want. He's mechayiv to do Ratzon Hashem, even if he's not mitzvah you to do. This is one of the recurrent themes in Rav Moshe Weiss's Shiurim. He has a lot about that in this essay also that's printed in the Kuntres that was distributed by my son's bris last Sunday. So he has this also, and he brings a Chazanish, and he brings sources to that. This is one of the recurrent themes in his Chidush Ter, which are always very pleasant and very beautiful, that whatever is Ratzon Hashem, we're mechuyev to do, even if there's no tzivui, certainly if there is a tzivui. Yeah, what exactly happened over here? The whole story is a pella. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Halei Usham Le'ola, then he sends a malach, and he says he should not kill him. What's going on? The whole thing is not to be understood. So the Rashi quotes from the Medrash that after the whole Akedah was all over, then Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. First he told me, Kibi Yitzchak Yikorlo Chazera. Then he told me, Halei Usham Le'ola. So the second tzivui, Halei Le'ola, contradicts the first haftoche. And then you send a malach, and he says, "Al tishlach yarchal anar." Everything contradicts everything else. So why did Avraham Avinu go ahead? Why was he prepared to do the Akedah if everything contradicts everything else? So the Rambam writes in the Moreh Nevuchim, the story of the Akedah is recorded in the Chumash to indicate to us how clear the Nevuah was to the Nevi'im. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Haspeklori HaMeira, and that of the other Nevi'im was Haspeklori Sheinu Meira. It doesn't mean that it was hazy and foggy, that it was unclear. If it's unclear, so a man is prepared to shecht his son, to kill his son. If it's unclear, that's ridiculous. So he says it was crystal clear. Everything was absolutely clear. Aspeklari Shein Meira doesn't mean that it was hazy. It was clear. So why did Avraham Avinu, why is he prepared to shecht his son? What about the contradiction? So look, it was clear to him that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So you mechuyev to do what Hashem wants you to do. You'll understand somehow in the future what's going on. He doesn't understand right now. After Avraham Avinu does what he's mechiv to do, then he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe explain it to me now. There's an interesting comment that the Meiri has. I have the Meiri on Mishlei here, but this is a pasuk in Tehillim that he's commenting on. Tuv tavad aslam deni kibi mitzvi secha emonti. So he interprets tuv key, the word key, sometimes Ibn Ezra has this and a few times in Chumash, the word key sometimes means not because, but rather despite the fact that. Ke'am k'she'er of who? Okay, the poshup shat and the posuk is difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Chet HaEgel, he should be marshu shchinasa bayas, balach de'imona, ke'am k'she'er, because we are an am k'she'er of. So the Ibn Ezra says, despite the fact, the word ki sometimes means, despite the fact that we are Am K'she'erufu, not because of the fact. So here also, the Meiri interprets, he quotes also a few other psukim in Tanakh, where the word ki means, ki m'shamish b'dalad l'shaynes, sometimes it means just the reverse from because, despite the fact that. So here it says, tuv tamad aslam deini, Dovan HaMelech says, ki despite the fact the mitzvah sech monte, I believe in the mitzvahs. I'm going to do the mitzvah anyway, even if I don't understand what it's all about. But do me a favor, I'm doing the mitzvah. Explain to me what it's all about. That's what the tzaddikim always do, even though it doesn't make sense. But if it's clear to them that that's the tzibei Hashem, so they're going to do it. So first, Avraham Avinu is prepared to do the akedah, and then the Malach tells him, "Aptu shalakar chalana," and doesn't. And then at the end, he says, "Tum tamadas lamdeni." Can explain to me what was it all about? What did I just do? That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. You find the same in the Haftorah in Parshas Bahar, that the Haftorah is from Yirmiyahu Navi. The Babylonian armies are about to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, and Yirmiyahu Navi gets a nevuah that his cousin is going to come from the city Anasos. He's broke, he needs money, and he wants to sell a field. Instead of selling the field to someone else and then to have Gulas Krovim, so he said the meaning was you sell it to the Krovim. So he's going to come and ask you to buy the field. When he comes to ask you, buy the field and pay all the money. So Yirmiyahu Navi does the Tzibi Hashem, and afterwards the Haftarah ends over there. Then afterwards he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what in the world was this all about? The real estate is worthless. The Babylonian armies are about to conquer the whole land. They're going to send everybody into gold. Why did I pay $500,000 for a field on Anasus? That's worthless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him why. I know what I'm doing. This is a simon. Write two shtaris. I say for golden. I say for chosim. Put it away in kolcheres and man yam the yamim rabim. Because the goldless bubble will only be 70 years, and after 7 years, they're going to come back. So make sure that the shtar will be available for your children and your grandchildren. They're going to come back. You're buying the field now. It's not because now it's going to be worth anything. Doc, it is worthless now. The buying the field is a simon. The bonecha is a simon to you. The whole generation, that the golden bubble is not going to last forever. It'll only be for 70 years. So that just like Avraham Avinu does the Tzibah Hashem, even though it absolutely didn't make any sense to him at the time, there are people today, modern people, who think that they're so intelligent. So they'll only do those mitzvahs that make sense to them. If they don't understand the mitzvah, they're not going to do. That's not a mitzvah. Kabbalah Zalmach Hashemayim means whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do, we do, even if we think that it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. How do you talk, understand this? What is the answer? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, when I told you, Haleu Sham Le'oila, I meant bring him up to the top of the mountain, Askasei. Now you took him up to the top of the mountain, Achsei, take him down from the mountain. What does that mean? So it's famous in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Sprinted the name Rav Chaim Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, said it over also, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu he should be Magdish his son as a Korban Oila. And in fact, Rashi HaChumash quotes it in later in Chumash. It says, Vayhi Raboret Malvad HaRav HaRishon HaShahiyah B'mei Avraham, there was another famine in the land. Vayered Yitzchak El Avimelech Melech Plishtim Geror. Why did he go to Geror? Because Yitzchak Avinu followed in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. Everything Avraham Avinu did, Yitzchak followed all the traditions. Whenever you have a big original thinker, if his son is also going to be original thinker, Mecharish, all the original things of the father are going to be lost. So if someone is a big Baal Mecharish and learning, so the son has to print what the father said. He's going to be Mecharish. So what's going to be everything from the father is going to be lost. So Yitzchak follows Masora. It says he dug the wells and he gave the wells the exact same name that the father gave. So the Zohar says in that pasuk that's Masora. Yitzchak Avinu follows Masora. So because Avraham Avinu, when there was a famine in Lech Lecha, so Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. So Yitzchak was going to go down to Mitzrayim. So on his way to Mitzrayim, he goes through Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerora. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Gur Barat Zazos. So you're not allowed to go to Mitzrayim. If you go to Mitzrayim, you'll be in violation because you are an Oila Tmima and a Korban Oila will be Nifsal B'Yotze. If you go Chutz L'Eretz Yisrael, you'll be Nifsal B'Yotze. Korban Oila is only Nifsal B'Yotze after Shechita. Before Shechita is not Nifsal B'Yotze. It's apparently the Shechita on Ayil Achar, Nechaz Basvach V'Kainov, was considered as if it was Chalan Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu was Magdish Yitzchak as a Korban Oila. And it's considered as if the Medrash says, how come it doesn't say Zechir by Yitzchak? It only says Dvar Bezechir by Avram and by Yaakov. Because the Rashi quotes on Chumash and Parshas Bechukosai. Rashi quotes the Medrash. You don't need Zechira for something that's right under your nose, right under your eyes. Afreshal Yitzchak is there. So it doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have to remember Yitzchak. What do you mean Afreshal Yitzchak? the whole thing was a mistake. You see, it wasn't a mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram to be Magdash Yitzchak, and then the Shechita and the Haktorah done to the idol is considered as if it was done to Yitzchak. So we consider as if you have Afresh al Yitzchak, and that's why he wasn't permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael, because the korban becomes nifsal if it'll be yotze chutz l'mkomo. So the makam of Hakrabas Kabbanis was Eretz Yisrael at that time. You can't go to chutz l'aretz. So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it clear to Avraham Avinu he should be Magdash his son Yitzchak, go to Har Moriah, be Magdash him. Then Avraham understood on his own. If you have a korban oilah, there's a Mishnah like that in Shkolim. If you find an animal roaming around in Yerushalayim, has a tag on it that this is a korban oilah, you don't know who the owner is. So first you try to make hachraza, try to find out whose korban is it. You can't figure out who the bala korban is. So you makrev it on the mizbeach, and you makrev it whoever the bala korban was, when makrev it on his behalf. So here also, Avraham Avinu is instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Magdash his son as a korban oilah. So you have an oiler roaming around. So what do you do if you have a korban oiler? So he's supposed to be makrevit. That he didn't hear benevuah. He heard benevuah to be Magdash his son. He should take his son Yitzchak to Har Moriah, be Magdash him. And then in Mela he understood. So then the Malach comes and he says, no, this is a different kind of a korban oiler. The avodas, the shechita and the haktara that will be done to the oil will be considered as if it was done to Yitzchak. But you don't have to do it to Yitzchak. So that's famous Rab Chaim, that askasei achsei. It doesn't mean I meant Haleh Sham Leoila, take him up to the Dapa Har Sinai, ask a say. No, it means to be Magdashim as a Korban Oila. And the Hakdosh Taka was Chal. When the Malach appears to Avraham Avin in the middle of the Akedah, and he says, Avraham, Avraham, Yame Hineni, Atush Al Kyar Chalanar, so in the Chumashim they have printed a bar in between Avraham, Avraham. And the Zohar points it out that you have a few times in Chumash where you have the person's name mentioned twice, and only by Moshe Rabbeinu there's no psik de gavei, there's no bar printed that you lay them both together, Moshe Moshe. But over here, Avraham Avraham, there's a pause in between. Well, what idea does that represent? That Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one where there's no psik de gavei. And by Avraham Avinu, there is a psik. So Rab Chaim Balozhiner explains this passage in the Zohar based in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. So he says that each neshama is brought down to this world. Neshama has a certain potential. So you have Avraham Avinu in heaven. There's a file cabinet, and it has the whole DNA of Avraham Avinu, his soul, spiritual DNA, what he can accomplish in his lifetime. Then you come down, you look at Avraham Avinu, it doesn't exactly correspond. Avraham Avinu didn't live up to his full potential. The same is by Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash says, Malach Elokim Ol Nebiyardim. So there's one Medrash in the Gemara, in the beginning of Perikid Anosh, and the Medrash says, the Malach Ma'olim, they looked at the Kisei HaKovid in heaven. Kisei HaKovid has four faces on it, Arya Kruv Nesher, and the Dmus Adam is Dmus Shel Yankov Avinu. Yankov Avinu. So that's the potential that Yankov Avinu had. Then Malachim Olim, they see what is the potential that Yankov Avinu has, and they come down and they see Yankov Avinu sleeping. A man has such great potential of sleeping. So the Gemara says, the Agadot and Gidon Asher says, Bikshu Lahargoy. He's not living up to his potential. What is he sleeping for? And so then the Gemara continues, Vinei Hashem Nitzav Olav. There are two ways to interpret Olav. Olav is standing on top of the ladder. Hashem is on top of the ladder. Hashem is on top of Yaakov Avinu to protect him. So that's how the Gemara interprets. The Malachim Yordim, Olim, they look at the Dmus Diyukten Shei Yaakov Avinu, Chakuk Al Kisei HaKovid. Then Yordim, they see this man with such great potential is sleeping. To protect the Yankov, and he says to the Malachim, leave him alone. He's exhausted. He has to sleep a little bit. But the Malachim felt that it doesn't correspond. The Yankov Shalmaila is much greater than the potential wasn't all realized. And the only great tzaddik who fulfilled his full potential was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why by Moshe, there's no psik begaveh. That's how the Radak interprets. Moshe Avde, Radak, and the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. It says, Moshe Abdi Meis. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu referred to as an Eved Hashem? Because there's a klal, there are that quotes in the Gemara, Kol Moshe Kana Eved Kana Rabbe, an Eved Knaini. Kol Moshe doesn't apply to an Eved Ivri, but there's a klal, Kol Moshe Kana Eved Kana Rabbe. That's a din deraisa. Moshe Kana Si Shekana Baila, that's only a din derabana. Moshe Kana Eved Kana Rabbe is a din deraisa. So usually people lead their own lives and they do a lot of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, they learn Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, everything, it's called Moshe Kana Eved Kana Rabbe. Everything he did was L'Shem Shamayim. That's the Rashi on Chumash quotes. Ve'erid Moshe min ha'har el ha'am. He wasn't Paina La'asaka. When he came down from Ha'asinai, all day and all night, everything he did was Avodas Hashem. Everything was Hashem, for the purpose of Hashem. So that's why he's called Moshe Avdi Meis. He's called Eved Hashem, because everything in his life was dedicated to L'Shem Shamayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say that when the Vilna Gaon made the cherem against the Hasidim, so they sent one of the Talmidim of the Gro to ask all the others to sign on the cherem. So the story goes that Rav Chaim Volozhin didn't want to sign. And they asked him, but the Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, made a cherem. What do you mean you're not going to sign? So he said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Avraham Avinu to shecht his son, he didn't send a malach. Baruch Shalom told him in person, when he wants him not to, al tishal chadachalana, not there, he sent a malach. To shecht someone, to kill someone, that you have to have a tzibur from the Baruch Shalom directly. Not to kill someone, that if you have a malach, tell you also. So he said, if the Vilna Gaon would be here, and he would tell me in person, I should sign, I'll sign the chair. But he sent the shliach, I'm not supposed to listen to the shliach to sign on the chair. So that's why in Lithuania, the big miyuchasim, the big yichas was, if you were descendant from Rav Chaim Volozhin, that's called Beis Harav. How come they don't consider all the descendants from the Vilna Gaon as big miyuchasim? So they say, because the Hasidim say, because the Vilna Gaon made a cherem against the Hasidim and Rav Chaim Volozhin and didn't want to sign it. So that's why the big yichas, that's what the Hasidim say, that's why the big yichas in Lithuania was, the Beis Harav, those who are descendants from Rav Chaim Volozhin. So this was what people used to say for years in the name of the Hasidim. There was a Rabbi Buxbaum, Yossi Buxbaum, died at a very young age. He was the head of Machon Yerushalayim for many years. I think his son is in charge now. So he collected a lot of Kisvei Yad. And they say in his name that he collected some of the Kisvei Yad. He could identify different handwritings. So he said he doesn't understand this whole story. He says they have the original copy of the cherem against the Hasidim. It's written in the handwriting of Rav Chaim Volozhin. What do you mean he refused to sign it? He was the one who wrote it. It's all in his handwriting. But that's what the Welt says. That's what they say from the Hasidim, that he refused to sign it because if the Rebbe would be here in person, I would sign. But he sent the Malach, he sent the Shliach, I should sign. I'm not supposed to listen to the Malach. There is a very important din that the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk in by the Akedah, that Avraham Avinu had to travel till he finds Ha Maria, and then he took Shnei Ne'arav Imo, and he asks them, what do you see over there? So they said they saw a mountain. They didn't see anything special about it. So he said, Shulachan Poyim Achamar. He didn't see. Avraham Avinu asked Yitzchak, do you see what I see? Yeah, they saw the Shechina on the mountain. And the two Avodim didn't see. So he said, Shulachan Poyim Achamar, just like the Chamar doesn't see anything unique about the mountain and the distance, so you don't see either. So that's the Pasuk in Chumash. So the Gemara has a comment, Shulachan Poyim Achamar, that in Eved Knaini is Am, it says Im Achamar. But the drasha of the Torah Shema Peh is that in Eved Knaini is Am Adam Al Achamar. Just like by Chamar, there's no Yuchsin. You say, Pliny Ben Pliny. There's a Yichus. This descendant from Rav Chaim Volozhin, a descendant from the Vilna Gaon, descendant from Rebbe Kivege, whatever. But by Behemoth, there's no such thing as a Yichus. Eved Knaini doesn't have any Yichus. So that's a question. Yesterday we spoke briefly about it. The Minchas Chinuch has on the Pasuk of Pirei Rivia, he shows that there's a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. When you say Eved Ein Lo Yachas, because of this Pasuk, it means he doesn't have Kurvas Mishpacha, or he doesn't even have Kurbas Sher Bosa. The two Chaloshemis of Kurva. Mishpacha Sab Kurim Mishpacha, Mishpacha Samena Kurim Mishpacha, Mechalashem Kurva Mishpacha, the Eved doesn't have. What about the Chalashem Kurva of Sher Bosa? Is an Eved permitted to live with his sister, to be permitted to live with his mother? The Gemara says, Eved Muta Bebita Muta Beima. The Gemara says, Muta. So Rashi seems to learn the Gemara Kipshuta that there's no Chalashem Kurva of Sher Bosa either. But the Rambam learns that's what the Menchas Chinuch points out. Rambam learns that that's not pshat in the Gemara. That's in the Sugya in Sanhedrin, Sugya B'nei Noach. So the Rambam learns, no, the Gemara is talking about a Nochish and his Gayer is Mutam and Ator B'yim U'bibita, but in the Rabbanon there's a din for two different reasons, that even though Gersh and his Gayer cut Mishanola Dami, so there's a Gzerim in the Rabbanon, he's not allowed to marry his relatives. So the Rambam learns that Gemara goes, the Eved with his sister, both were Nochrim, they used to be brother and sister. Then they both became Gerim, Lishem, Eved Knaini, Lishem Shivcha Knainis. So, Minatara, the din is Kakotin Shanela Dami, and they never made the Gzera de Rabbanan. But if he's a Yelid, he's an Eved, he and his sister were both brother and sister, they were born, they were Shivcha Knainis, and there was no Geris on them. So the Rambam seems to learn that that'll be an Issa Deraisa, even though there's no Kurva of Mishpacha, but there is Kurva of Sher Bosam. So that's that whole din, that Eved Ein Lo Yachas, is learned out from this pasuk Shulachan Poem Achamar. The Gemara uses that din to explain why there's no Tfisis Kiddushin. An Eved can't have any issues, not if he marries a Baschorin and not if he marries a Shivcha Knainis. There's no Tfisis issues. Just like there's no, even if you're the Rishir Basar, but just like there's no Mishpacha, so too there's no Yachas of Ishus either. Then there's a Gemara in Gittin, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. There's a Tosis in Gittin, Rav Mem Gimel or so, where the Gemara has a shot if you have a Chatzi Eved, a Chatzi Ben Chorin. Do you say Eved Ein Lo Yachas means he doesn't have Yachas? He's lacking, blank. But if he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin, then he will have Yachas mitzad a Chatzi Ben Chorin. What do you say? No, Avdus is a Mafkiya. Avdus is like a Poisel. That even if he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin and he's Chayv and Tfilin, Chayv and Shefer, he's Chayv and all the mitzvahs that are Magrama because of Chatzi Ben Chorin. But Avdus is a Mafkiya from the Yachas. So the Gemara says not only is it relevant to Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Ben Chorin is Mekadosh and Isha, they say the Chatzi Avdus is Mafkiya the Yachas. So there's no Tfisas Ishus. It's relevant also when you get to Yerusha. If someone is a Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Ben Chorin, so these, if you say that Hamadar Melech Hamor has no Yachas, means not only has no Yachas Ishus, he doesn't have Yachas of Kurvas Mishpacha for Yerusha purposes either. So even if it'll be a Chatzi Ben Chorin, the Abdus will be a Mafkia. That's a Gemara. That's a Gemara in Git. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that that's probably the basis of the din. The Chasam Sof and the Chidushim HaMaseches Avodah Zarah raises the question, where did the Tanoim get this wild idea from? The Gersh and his guy Kotten Shanola Dami. Where is the Mokar and Chumash? So he mentioned that the Meiri claims that it's based on Meiri and Psochem Dav Chav Ches, says based on the Pasuk, that V'chiyogirit Chumcheir the Darasechem Yosa Pesach Lashem, that a Gersh and his guy brings the Korban Pesach. So he said, how can it be that there was an opinion in the days of the Rishonim, the Miri quotes an opinion, it's against Taisus HaMchof Ches on the base of Sochem, that a Jew who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah for the rest of his life, Kol Benecha Lo Yochel Bo, even after doing tshuva from the Avodah Zarah, he can never participate in the Korban Pesach. So how can a Ger ever participate in Korban Pesach? He probably worshipped Avodah Zarah when he was an Ochri. So it's a Raya that Ger Shen is Gak Kot Nishon Oledam. That's how the Miri says. We usually don't accept that. We usually don't think that that's correct at all. Gersh and his guy cut and shenel a dummy doesn't mean that his whole past history is wiped off. If he owes money to the bank, if he borrowed $100,000 from the bank and then he converts, he has to pay the money back. You don't wipe off the whole past history. You don't say that he never worshipped Abed Zara. He's a different person. He's not. You only say cut and shenel a dummy ben egeir to the dinim and have to do with kurva. The Gemara says, "Benegayet Psuli Eidus, two brothers convert their Koshal Eidus together. A brother and a sister convert; they're permitted to get married. Menatora only Osam and the Rabbanon. And if Mr. Trump's daughter converts and the father passes away, so the daughter doesn't get the Yerusha Menatora. The Rabbanon, the Gemara said, they made a Takana. We're afraid she may want to convert back to her original religion in order to get a share in the Yerusha. So we say, Midirabbana, she gets Yerusha, but Benatar, she doesn't get Yerusha. That's Benegir to Kurva. Gershon is Gakat Shanal Adami. It's clear in the Gemara, it's only Benegir to Kurva. That Miri is difficult. So the Shad, well, where, that's what the Chasam Sefer is. Where in the world is there a mocker for this whole idea? There's a parsha gezel ager, but the Chasam Sefer said it's not really conclusive. Mainly ish goy lo hashiv hashem ela. Maybe it means we don't know who the relatives are. Doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't have a soul. He's not related to a soul in the world. After we know that din is gershon, it's got kanshin ola dami. So we understand that that's pshat. Mainly ish goy lo, it's gezel ager. So he's not related to anybody in the world. But how do you know in advance that that's the pshat? Maybe they had a tradition. Okay, but that's what the Chasam Sefer wonders. How do you know? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, no, it's based on this pasuk. The din is, he can't have any kurvas mishpacha between anochri, and anochri is mekadosh and isha. So there's not tfisas kiddushin. And if anochri dies, if there's no tfisas kiddushin, that the Gemara says the two atolis are bezeh. That Gemara by the chatz yevah v'chatz mecharen. If whenever they can't have yachas of issues between two people, so then you can't have yachas of kroivim either. So if the nochri converts, let's say, and his sister didn't convert, so he's no longer related to his sister. You can't have a yachas, you can't have a kroivim between a Jew and a non-Jew. Then you want to say after the sister converts later, he converts today and the sister converts tomorrow. So we say, okay, for a day they weren't related. First they were brother and sister. Then for a day they weren't related. Then the next day the sister converts. Then they become back again brother and sister. So Rav Soloveitchik said, how can they become brother and sister at the age of 25? You have to be brother and sister mileida. So since originally they were the two nochrim, the brother and the sister, were related. And then whoever converts first. So that one is Jewish, the other one is not. So the kurva is nipsak. Then even after the second one converts, that's the halacha. Gershon is got cut and shenala dami. There was a period of time that they weren't related. And achinami, the Gemara has a Gemara in the end of Yevamos, daf kufa mebeis or something. The Gemara says a woman, a goyish woman, is pregnant with twins, and that the goyish woman converts. So all three are now Jewish. The mother with the twin sons. And the Gemara says you don't say kakot and shenala dami. Why? Because the gerus for all three was chal bevasachas. Whenever the gerus is chal simultaneously, then you don't say kakot and shenala dami. The whole yisoid of gerushin is got kakot and shenala dami is because there was a period of time where one of them was Jewish, the other one was not Jewish. So at that time, the kurva was nipsak. So even after the second one converts later, the kurva can't be restored in midlife. But if a few people are megayer simultaneously, then you don't say kot and shenala dami. That's, I was told that that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained also why the Gur Aryeh by the Maharal Prague points out the pasuk that so the Gerai points out that you see that Amayim HaSinai, the din of Kukot and Shonali Domi didn't apply, so the people were bellyaching, but they were complaining about the relatives that were now prohibited to them. Why didn't you say Kukot and Shonali Domi? So the Gerai, you say, you see from this Gemara, it's a Gemara, the first half in Rav Lezer and the Mila. They see that Gershon is got Kushanal, doesn't imply it has seen it. Why not? So the Guraya has a strange explanation. Others give other explanations. So I was told that Rav Soloveitchik said that it was a national Geirus. There was one Geirus that was chal for everybody. But Harai, usually the din is each individual Geir has to bring a Korban HaGeir. Here, Klal Yisrael brought Korbanus, and it was on they didn't bring Shishim Reba Korbanus. They didn't bring a carbon each and every individual person. It was one national geirus for everybody. So even though everybody had to be tovel in the mikveh separately, but since it was one big national geirus, maybe it was chal bevasachas. So it's like the muberish and his gaira, and she had twin boys. So the Gemara says over there, you don't say katan shenala dami. So over here also, apparently, you don't say katan shenala dami. I think the Maharsha is bothered with Akasha and the Gemara, the end of Kiddush, Kiyim Avram Avinu, Kala Tarkul Achalai Nitna Avram Avinu volunteered to observe all the mitzvahs, even though the Torah wasn't yet given. So if that's true, so how did he marry Shivcha Mitzris or Shema Hagar. There's a din, you're not allowed to marry a Mitzri. Not allowed to marry a Mitzri. So the Marsha asked that kash. So I remember Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once spoke here in the Washington Heights. So he said he has a suggestion we should check through Shas to see if it's neat on the Hayomer. He said, a person is a Mitzri means he belongs to that nationality. But an Eved Ein Lo Yachas has no Yachas to anybody else, has no Tfisas Ishus, has no Kurva of Mishpacha. So he says, maybe doesn't have Yachas to a nation either. Maybe Shivcha Mitzris, if she would have converted to become Jewish, so to become a Gioris, so maybe then there would be he wouldn't have married her because she's a Mitzris. But if she converted to L'shem Shivcha Knainis, so maybe Shivcha Knainis Ein Lo Yachas, the Yachas to the Ummah HaMitzris suggested, he suggests maybe it was also broken. So he said, Achidish, what's Halacha L'maisa? A Mitzri. Now there's no Mitzrim. Sancheirav Bilbul is Kolom Kol. But let's say before Sancheirav. So there was a din of Mitzri. What if the Mitzri would not be Megayer the Shem Geiris? He'll be Megayer, the Mitzri, the Mitzvah will be Megayer the Shem Evikneini. Is it Nitan Lehayomer? That there's no prohibition. And then later on, you'll be Meshachar the Evikneini. So maybe calls man that he's an Evikneini or Shivcha Kneinis. Maybe Ein Lo Yachas, so he loses his whole connection with the Am HaMitzri. So maybe even if later on, if it'll be Megai, maybe there won't be an Issa Mitzri. He made such a suggestion. In the middle, he gave a whole drasha. So that was a suggestion that he made. We should look into it. Okay. Should all have a healthy Shabbos and have a Hatzlacha.
Shabbos, Rabbi.
Shabbos.